You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
And welcome to the BFM studio, the one and only Murray Kamick. How's it going, Murray?
Hello, I'm fine.
Now, for this week's edition of Audio Culture, we're talking about Hugh Lynn.
Yeah, we thought that would be relevant because he promoted the big David Bowie show in 1983, and that's still, I think it must be about the biggest we've had at Western Springs, certainly the most memorable.
There's some astounding facts in there that 10% of Auckland's population at the time attended that concert.
Yeah, that makes...
Was that many people?
Yeah, it makes sense, but the way Hugh Lynn used to promote the shows was he would have a target for ticket sales in Taupo, ticket sales in Gisborne, ticket sales in Whakatane, just ticket sales everywhere. So he was...
Murray, I'm just going to shut that door.
I can shut.
Do you want to kick it shut?
You shut the door, I'll just keep talking. What was I talking about? Yeah. Hugh had just a way of selling tickets that everybody else has tried to copy, and Ragamuffin was actually really good at doing it. You basically, you know, have a target to sell in all the small towns of New Zealand, and you organise buses with the radio stations, and, you know, you phone the record shop, you have someone phoning the record shop, and Gisborne, Guyans, Dunsmore or whatever, and how many tickets did we sell today? And so I think half that crowd at Western Springs, at least half of that 80-something thousand, would be from out of Auckland.
Yes.
I mean, was it the first time that Bowie had been to New Zealand?
Oh, no. He'd been here in 1978, where there just wasn't quite as, you know, what he was sort of, with the rock audience, he was already a classic performer and, you know, had at least 10, if not 15 years of hits. But And that was a great show in 1978, possibly his best ever. But when he came in 83, he had the big hit like Let's Dance. Mm. And that was the days when record companies were really overkilling the marketing on an artist, you know. Because once that album had sold its mega millions, I don't think anyone wanted another David Bowie album again.
Yes.
you sort of shoot yourself in the foot. Or feet if mm-hmm. you sell too many albums.
Yes. Now, I mean, what sort of other work was Hugh Lynn doing? Obviously, there's these big old international.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Well, he first got the story in Audio Culture traces it way back to him, you know, being a bouncer on the doors of Auckland clubs, and then he ran a company called Eden Security. And then when he was running the security of these concerts so well, a couple of promoters said, particularly Paul Dainty said, well, you just promote the show for me. And so Hugh was first Paul Dainty's rep in New Zealand, and then he became the rep for Frontier Tours. And then I guess Paul Dainty separated from him, and eventually Frontier Tours got other people to represent him. But his sideline was other interests were Mascot Studios and recording Herbs and managing Herbs. Mm. So maybe the tour promoters thought he was putting too much time into Herbs and not enough time into...
We actually spoke about this 2 weeks ago for Audio Culture. The Herbs, Ardesia, Aotearoa, Dread, Beat and Blood Tour. That went up and down the country. Yeah,
that was a big one. I'm not sure if I saw it when it was in Auckland, but I certainly saw Herbs a lot, you know,
yes.
Over the years.
Yes.
And what can you tell us about Warrior Records?
That was Hugh's label, and one of the things I've noticed as a DJ is that Mascot did achieve amazing sounds on the remixes they did of French Letter and I was going to say Neutron Bomb, but I think that's Pointer Sisters, isn't that? What am I trying to say? There was
so Mascot was his studios.
Yeah.
Whereabouts was Mascot?
Mascot was in Charlotte Street, up off the start of Dominion Road. But at the time, I think we had the big focus on the the key studios were a place called Mandrill and then Harlequin, and maybe Harlequin was before Mandrill and then York Street. But there's some good sounds on those Herbs albums. And even if you get some of the original vinyl and probably the new pressings, there's beautiful sound on some of those tracks.
Mm-hmm. Which is absolutely astounding. I guess, do you know how he put together the studios?
Was well, the it studio pre-existed, and he just, I think, bought the, I think they may have been called, oh, I've forgotten the name, might have been Barton or part of Barton Sounds, but it's one of the old studios, mm-hmm. and Hewlin upgraded it and stuff. So, it was his story is excellent, and he lives in Gisborne now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, but it's... with the whole Herbs thing and stuff, he sort of embraced his Maori heritage from his I think it's father's side of the family, and mm-hmm. yeah, it's a really interesting story, because as a kid, his mother was one of the famous dancers from the Winter Garden Theatre in below the Civic,
yes,
during the Second World War, I think, and she taught dance. I've gotten her name, so he became a ballroom dancer, and because he's a ballroom dancer, guys would say the wrong thing to him, so he learnt how to whack people back. Then he decided that he didn't, he gave up on whacking people because his shirts would get damaged.
Yes, but he also had a bit of a hand in the post-punk scene in Auckland.
Oh, maybe only slightly. He yes. briefly had a punk club that was the old Mojo's. Mm-hmm. He did own the Mojo's nightclub that was famous for... you know, men entertaining as women.
Yes.
You
know? Mm. Yep. Yep. So it sounds like a top quality nightclub. Now,
yeah. Well, it was a funny thing is they did the Brian Ferry press sort of event there in the afternoon, and I've got a photo of Brian Ferry and the Roxy Music looking like, what is this?
And now, Murray, was there anything else that really stood out?
I think it's a good story to look out for on Audio Culture, if I say so myself, the Hugh Lynn story. And later in the week, I've actually been writing the captions for a series of Rip It Up covers that is going to go up online later in the week. Mm-hmm. So I've 6 more covers to do, and and then that story's finished, and that's due later in the week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Murray Kamik, thanks so much. We'll hear from you on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Spinning on the 1200s. All right, we're going to go out on some David Bowie. Apparently drew the biggest crowd ever in New Zealand, 82,500.
We think.
If anyone knows of anyone else that's bet that, let us know, 5395. But we're going to play Hang On To Yourself. This is the only version we have here at BFM, but it's the Arnold Korn's single version. So,
oh, well, I hope it is David. We think it's David, yeah. though.
Let's give it a spin. Hey, Murray, thank you so much.
And see y'all.
Thanks, Audio Culture.
That was
Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.